Welcome to the Blackout Podcast, where I get to talk to amazing people who do amazing things. And today I have my friend, the owner and founder of Twerp Communications.
That's me.
Anita Kirkbride. Thanks for coming to the Blackout Podcast
No
today.
Problem. I'm excited to be here.
Yo, I mean, I love the name Twerp.
So it's
let's,
fun.
Let's start with how you came up with that name and what your company does.
So when I started my business way back in 2011, it was really the very beginning stages of social media and iPhones as well. So everything was starting to be called I this, I that. We had the iPod, the iPad, the iPhone. And when I was coming up with a name for my business, I was using a business generator on the internet, a name generator to come up with things. And I wanted it to have the feeling of I. Because to me, that's where everything was going. Mm-hmm. So I was putting in words and things in this name generator, and it came out with Chirp Communications because I said birds because of the Twitter logo. It said Chirp, and I said to my sister, I don't like Chirp, but what if I used Twerp with an I instead of an E? And she looked at me and said, do you really want to be known as the Twerp around? And I said, I think I do. I think that would be fun. And Twerp was born.
Holy shit. And what do you do with Twerp?
So it's changed a lot over the 13 years, but currently I'm a social media consultant or a digital strategist. I help people figure out what they need to be doing online, mostly in the realm of social media. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc. Creating a strategy and a content plan that they can then go away and manage on their own. Mm-hmm. When I started, I was doing that and then managing it for them. But I've really gotten away from the management side of things and mostly help them figure out what they need to do. Because so much of social media now is about personal brand. It's about you and your face behind the business. And I can't do that for people the same way I used to because I can't be the person behind the reels of five different brands. So it's a whole different way of doing social media now than it was even 5 years ago. So I've moved away to more empowering people to be able to do it on their own so that they can show their face more.
You know, and as a business owner, as a, you know, as a speaker, you know, whatever the person is doing, that is what you want, actually, right?
Yeah.
To know, okay, what is the best thing I do? Like, how do I get my voice out there in the social media world? And so evolving to that is actually the right move. Like, when did you see that was coming on yourself that, oh, that's where I should be going?
I saw that starting to happen probably about 6 or 7 years ago. It was a year or two before the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to make the pivot then. The pandemic hit and it really caused me to fast forward my pivot. But yeah, it was about 6 or 7 years ago. I started seeing, okay, there's more. We need to show faces. We need the business owners to speak more. And people, as the younger generations come up and they're used to dealing with social media and phones and cameras and editing and all that stuff, there was less of a need for somebody like me to do that and more of a desire from audiences to see the less polished stuff that people could produce on their own. Like, there's always going to be a need for podcast assistants and editors and graphic designers and so on. But not every business needs to go that route. And a lot of really small businesses can do a really good job on their own, and they're the best ones to talk about their business. So those are the people that I'm really trying to help, is just show them, yeah, you can do this. You're okay on video. You don't have to edit it. You can just do it, and people will like that more than they'll like something that looks like a TV commercial.
Yeah. I find out myself too when you're like, nah, it's not, that's not that person versus, oh, okay, that's you. You know, you want those quirks, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what makes you unique.
And, exactly.
And I wrote somewhere the other day, like, flaunt those quirks, those things that make you different. That's what made your partner fall in love with you. That's what makes your kids love you. That's what makes your friends love you. So why wouldn't that be what makes your audience love you?
Flossom.
Right. Flossom.
Flossom, which you have the shirt on. I love it. What was the origin of the hashtag and what does it mean?
Well, so Flossom for me is the philosophy of embracing your flaws or your differences or your imperfections and doing whatever it is you think they're holding you back from anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about, we're not fearless. Everybody has fear. You can't say, I am not fearless. You can say, I'm courageous. I feel the fear and I do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's all of that is Flossom. Mm. So the original word, I love to do my internet research. So I was trying to come up with a name for a keynote speech a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the internet searching for words that mean this or that. And somewhere along the way, this word Flossom came up. And I said, that's the word I need. That's the philosophy. It's actually Tyra Banks that coined the term way back on her TV show that I never watched.
Yeah.
But she coined the term way back when, and it took on a life of its own.
Yeah, no, that is thing. It's like, you know, is that thing that makes you different, that makes you unique, that makes you special, that mm-hmm. makes you you, because, you know, it's like your imprint, it's your thing.
Yeah.
And I think people need to learn how to own it. So thanks for doing that. And I'm like, okay, with you mentioned that you do keynote speaking and stuff, and that's something else you do mm-hmm. when you're speaking.
I do.
You mentioned the research. What are other things you do when you're preparing for a keynote speaking or just like for a speaking engagement in general?
Well, now I'm using ChatGPT a lot.
Hello there.
I love ChatGPT. It has really changed how I work.
Right.
It's great for coming up with ideas, for organizing. I've always been a writer. I've written a blog for 13 years. I've done speeches. I've done training. I've done all that stuff. But ChatGPT helps me organize it in ways that make more sense than what I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't see any other way to organize it, but I put it into ChatGPT and it says, this is what you need to do. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
Right.
And the other day I'm working on a big workshop for the government. I put some things in. What else do I need to know from the client? And it gave me three questions that I sent off to the client. And when those answers came back, I went, oh, that was so helpful.
Mm.
So now I know much more about what the client's expecting as I build the presentation and the workbook and everything. So a lot of ChatGPT going on in my house.
I am from your school too. Like I'm from the view that ChatGPT is not like, you know, people are is going to take people's jobs. I think it is about how you use it.
Absolutely.
I think ChatGPT is a tool. And it is how you use it on, like, I'm taking this course and it's like how to see ChatGPT as like a strategic partner. And it's like you have like this friend that you're like, so I have this idea. And then the friend's like, you know, that sounds good, but why don't we do it like this? And that's exactly what you're saying.
Absolutely. It comes up with things. It's all about learning how to use it.
Mm.
And so you have to tell it things like, ask me all the questions you need to ask me before you produce anything.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the questions it asks you, you go, oh, I didn't think of that. Or, you know, give me a social media campaign for a bakery that has this product to introduce.
Mm.
And it will give you, you know, most of it is very standard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it works. But every once in a while, you'll go, oh, that's a really cool thing. Or for coming up with names for things, for if you wanted to, for example, take a popular song and make your own content that sort of resonates with the song. You can put the song lyrics in and you can say, I want to write a post about this song and I want it to talk about this. help me do that, and it does it, but that you have to rewrite the whole thing anyway.
Obviously. Oh my God. Yes. Yeah.
But it helps get those thoughts going.
Have you noticed, like, on King, where you read something like, this person didn't even bother to read it. They just like copy and then they just paste it.
So my blog post, I don't know when this is going live, but okay. My blog post that's coming out this week.
Yeah.
Is all about, here are the signs that I see that I can tell you have over-relied on your AI to write something. And there's certain phrases that AI uses all the time that people just don't use that often. There's even the way it organizes a post or a blog, you can tell if the person is not editing that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is you look at that, you go, oh, this is clearly AI written.
Yeah, yeah.
And not very well edited. Well, then you start to wonder about the credibility of the person.
Right.
Do they actually know what they're talking about?
Mm.
So I use ChatGPT. Everybody knows I use it. I've used it to outline and write blog posts. But I hope that I'm editing it enough and putting my own voice in it that it's really becoming my own thing.
Your stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's no different than you and I sitting down and talking about, I need to write a blog post about this. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And going back and forth.
That is exactly it.
Yeah. It just does it faster.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it. Anyway, that's my spiel about thing. Is it tool? You just have to use it correctly.
Absolutely.
And stop, like, if you have a job where something just replaces it anyway. What's that thing you say? Have a job. Does this saying you have?
You want to have a. How did I word that?
Create the job you need.
Not a job that needs
you. Yeah.
Need.
Like that's. Yes. And like ChatGPT is not going to create that job you need.
Yeah.
So by the time you create that job you need, you don't have to worry about ChatGPT taking it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I love that quote. I love that quote. I said I'm going to put it somewhere. Let's talk about Social Media Day Halifax.
Yeah, sure.
What is the origin of that and why did you think it was important and what do we have for the next edition?
So Social Media Day Halifax is a one-day conference for the small business community. And when I talk about small business, I'm talking about solopreneurs, people who work from home, you know, kind of 10 or under employees. That's who we're really working to help. Whereas the government thinks small businesses, you know, under 250 employees. They can still come to the conference, but that's not who we're trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a one-day conference. It's all about social media. It's mostly local experts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are people like me. They're digital strategists or they're Instagram experts or they're Facebook ad experts. But they're all local and they're coming to share their expertise with mm-hmm. the community, with the small business crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And we really impose on them to keep all the sessions really down to earth and actionable.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to walk out of a session and go, okay, I know I need to do this next.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want them to walk away and say, yeah, I need to go learn more about this.
Yeah, fuck. You know what? I go to conferences and there's nothing that annoys me as that, like, what did I just, like, and it's not the conference, but it's usually, like, a specific talk.
Yeah.
You get out of that talk and you're like, that was 20 minutes or 40 minutes I can't get back.
Yeah, it was interesting, it was helpful,
yeah.
But it wasn't specific.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah. So we tell them we want it to be really specific. Mm. We ask them for the outcomes. And we really try to, I mean, we can't pre-vet everybody. We try to find new people all the time, but we really try to make the topics things that are going to be very helpful for that small business community.
Mm-hmm.
And for people, like, we're trying to help people who are doing their own social media.
Mm.
People who don't have, they might have a podcast assistant or a VA working with them, but they don't have a department that's doing marketing.
Mm.
If you have a department that's helping with your marketing, this conference might not be for you. You might want to send them,
mm-hmm.
but it's not probably for you. Whereas there's another big conference here in town where it's for the big organizations and the governments and the agencies, and it's more about that size of things.
Mm.
We're here to help show you how you can do things on your own for smaller budgets or for free, and how to do things more efficiently and what's coming down the pipe, and really actionable things like how to make a reel, how to make a Facebook ad, how to do this. So for this year, our keynote speakers, we start the day with a general keynote for everybody, is Sheena Russell.
Oh, who's she?
She owns Made with Locals, so they make... I don't know my terminology very well yet because we're just starting to promote her, but whole food granola bars maybe is a good way to describe them. They're sold at Sobeys, I think, across the country now. She went to the Cannes Film Festival with TikTok to have her bars there.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, she's gone from selling these bars, these food bars at farmers markets in Nova Scotia, eight or 10 years ago, to having a whole production facility selling across Canada in Sobeys and Costco and going to the Cannes Film Festival.
That's sweet.
So we think she's got a really interesting story to share.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So how did you get Sheena, and how do you get your other speakers for the...
So the call for speakers is open right now. Anybody who thinks they have something social media related to
that
share.
That is actionable.
That is actionable. Yes. We do get a lot of proposals from people who want to share their motivational talks. We don't really do motivational talks, except for, you know, Sheena. The keynote might be motivational, but everything else is really specific. So if you've got something really specific you can share, could be like, how, like I said, how to do a Facebook ad, how to make reels, how to use TikTok, how to use Canva, how to take better photos of your products for social media. We've had podcast ones, storytelling ones. So anybody who has something like that, that they think they're very good at and they have something they can share, or they've had a really big learning around something like that and they might want to share, we're open to proposals. The deadline for that is March 15th.
Okay.
So anybody can do that. We pay our speakers. We don't really have a budget for travel. So most of our speakers come from Halifax or New Brunswick area. But we sometimes get a speaker from outside who wants to come and be part of it. And they come. But we try to keep it really local.
Actionable. We're not really able to come and say, this is what you need to do. And not just like, this was... why did you feel the need to start it though?
Well, we used to have a conference here called the Atlantic Internet Marketing Conference about 10, 11 years ago. And I was only able to go to it twice, I think, before it died for various reasons. When it died, I just kept saying, we need this conference here. We need something like that. And I had my own feelings about why it failed and what would work. And I just thought... I tried a couple of times to get the AIM conference going again, but it never felt right. And then one day I just kind of told the sales manager at Cineplex, I've got this event I want to have. I think this would be a good place to have it. And next thing you know, I'm pulling together a team of people to make it happen.
Wow.
So this event is quite different from the AIM conference for anybody that might have attended it. But it just, there was this huge gap. We have marketing conferences that come here, the Canadian Marketing Association, I think it's called. They would come for a day. But again, that was for agencies and big companies. And the audience that we're serving, they don't have the money to do the kinds of campaigns and things that those conferences talk about. So we're really servicing what I think is an underserviced population.
Exactly. You found that spot. This is missing.
Yeah.
And I love that you kind of created it for yourself, but you knew that there were other people that needed something like that.
Yeah.
Something else that, I mean, I love your social media, obviously. Your Instagram is wild, fun, interesting, and you have this new like action anti-hero. What's it called?
Anti-hero. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm in my anti-hero era, and it has nothing to do with Taylor Swift. That's a coincidence.
Okay.
I was listening to a podcast last summer, the what was it called? Under the Influence podcast, which is all about marketing and history and advertising. And he did a whole episode about anti-heroes in marketing. And when he explained what an anti-hero is, I thought, that's just the next level of Be Flossom. So Be Flossom is about accepting your flaws and your imperfections mm-hmm. and doing the thing anyway, courage. Mm-hmm. Being an anti-hero in marketing is all about, it's more than just accepting, it's flaunting. Mm. So yeah, I like to swear, so I'm going to swear in my marketing. Or when I go to an event, it's a sea of black in terms of clothing, right? Mm. Like I went to an event last night and the room is full of black shirts and black dresses and black coats. I'm thinking, why? I'm wearing my bright red because I like color. So the anti-hero thing is all about knowing the rules and breaking them or not following them, not following rules just because they're rules. Knowing how to do things that work best for you. Because mm-hmm. that's the thing about an anti-hero. They're not a villain. Mm-mm. They're not a perfect hero. So they are imperfect and they're always doing what's right for them.
I think for me, the anti-hero gets shit done.
Yes. And they put themselves first. Mm. And I think especially when we're talking about women in business, they often don't put themselves first. They say, oh, this is what's done. This is how social media is done. So I have to do this or I'm not successful. Mm. And I'm there to say, no, you don't have to have a Black Friday sale. You don't have to offer a discount. You don't have to post 3 times a day every day. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to post on Instagram if you don't want to. So do what's right for you and build your social media strategy around what is going to work for you and make your business work, not just what everybody else says.
Wow. Another thing you do is like you share really vulnerable and really personal things, especially when it comes to mental health. Why is that important to you?
Oh, that's important to me because people who have not dealt with mental health issues personally or in their family don't understand that it looks different in every case. Mm. What we see in the movies and on TV about depression is somebody who can't get out of bed. Well, that is not how I experience depression because I'm a mom with a child with high needs. I can't just stay in bed every day. But some people with depression would and could, right? If I had a day where I could, I might have. But I had no choice. I had to get up. I walked around with what I always called functioning depression.
Wow.
And I see now it's a common term, high functioning depression or high functioning anxiety. Yeah. Are people that they're in their jobs, they're running their businesses, you see them out networking, you don't know anything's wrong. Mm-hmm. But we are not right. Mm. We're not right in our head, literally. Mm. So part of it is I want to share the stories of different entrepreneurs and how they experience their mental illness mm-hmm. so that people can start to learn it isn't just, oh, they can't get out of bed. And it's more than just being sad. You know, there's still this whole stigma about, like, I wasn't sad at all. It had nothing to do with being sad. Mm. It's literally all my emotions were depressed. Mm. So it had nothing to do with sad. And I just really want people to understand that so that more people will feel comfortable getting help, taking drugs. I take drugs. I'm not ashamed of that. And if me being out there talking about how I'm having a bad day or how I'm taking drugs helps somebody else to get help, then I'm all for it. Because I'm in a place now where I can do it. Mm. The last time I had a bout of depression, I wasn't in a place where I could really do that. But this time I can. Mm. So.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that. I'm going to get just a little bit deeper. There is this question that I'm asking pretty much every guest that comes this year, and I mean I kind of word it differently every time because I've not found the right way to word it, but basically what's something that happened t- to you before you were 17 that you feel is responsible for you now, all these things you're doing and all these things you're interested in?
Yeah. So when you sent me that question and told me to prepare for it, the first thing that came to mind was, and I would have been around 17 because I was in high school, my last year of high school. So 16, 17-ish. Mm-hmm. But my vice principal at high school, who was also my chemistry teacher, told me one day in a, not a private conversation, but told me one day just kind of privately, I think you should run for student council. Mm. And I was like, why? I'm not popular. Why would I run for, nobody's going to vote for me. No. I think you need, I think you'd enjoy it. I think you'd do well at it. You know, he really sort of pumped me up to do that. Mm-hmm. And I did it. And I really do believe having that experience as student council president and running meetings and doing, you know, talking and going to student conferences and things gave me the idea and the confidence that maybe I could do something like that with mm-hmm. with my future. Mm. And it didn't work out that way immediately. But had I not done that, I think it would have been very different.
That's what planted a seed. Anissa, yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And then finally, I'm doing this cool thing I learned from a friend, but I thought you blew my mind, so I want to blow your mind too.
Okay.
You get this.
Uh-oh.
And you write down your number between 1 and 60. Show me. Just point it to the camera.
1 and 60.
Yeah, between 1 and 60. Just one number between 1 and 60. And then show me and show the camera when you're done.
Okay.
All right. So it could be more. It could be in one or more of these cards.
Okay.
Just need you to let me know if it's in here.
Yes.
Oh, first time wins in the first card. Okay, it's in here. Is it here?
No.
Is it here?
Yes.
Yes, it is here. Is it here?
Yes.
Oh boy. Okay. Is it here?
No.
Nope. Is it here?
No.
Okay. Oh, flip. Okay. This is a little bit difficult. Okay. Give me time to like reflect on this. Are you ready to get your mind blown, Anita? You ready?
Sure.
42.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming to the podcast and sharing. And I can't wait for this year's social media day.
It's going to be fun. I hope you join us.
I will.